بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome, my dear listeners. You are tuned in to Let's Talk Life, and I am your host for the next hour, Khadija Mohammed, taking you through some amazing guests with some very, very great topics, something that I think we all can really be inspired and motivated by. So let's start with our program. First, on the topic for today, we have Brother Khalid Jasad, who is very well known on our radio talk shows, alhamdulillah, and with very extensive knowledge, he's going to be speaking to us today about social anxiety. Now, we know social anxiety disorder is also sometimes referred to as social phobia. And this is a type of anxiety disorder that causes extreme fear in social settings. So people with this disorder have trouble talking to people, sometimes even meeting new people, and even, you know, attending social gatherings. They fear being judged or being scrutinized by others. And these are some of the things that they face. So, they may understand that their fears are irrational or unreasonable, but they tend to feel powerless, you know, to overcome them. So social anxiety, my dear listeners, is very different from shyness. You know, shyness is usually something that is short-term and doesn't disrupt one's life that much. But social anxiety, on the other hand, is a persistent and it can be debilitating. So it can really affect one's work. It can affect one's it can affect one's school life, and even developing close relationships with people outside of the family can be strained. So this afternoon, like I said, we have an amazing guest today, and it's really honor for me to welcome him onto my show. We are chatting to life coach Khalid Jasad, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about social anxiety. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Khalid, and welcome to Let's Talk Life.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Khadija. I'm delighted and honored to be here again, and thank you for that intro. No pressure. But yeah, thank you very, very much. It's always an honor to be on your show. And thank you to you, your team, your radio station, and of course, all the listeners who have taken the invaluable time and tuned in to listen to snippets of our inspiration and experiences.
Thank you so much, Brother Khalid. And you know, when I got word that you are the guest on my show for today, I was really excited. Because I tend to just get hooked onto whatever it is that you are saying and letting off, and you really inspire me. So let's hope, inshallah, that our guests, listeners, are going to feel the same after this, inshallah. And definitely, I think the next few minutes are definitely going to have some great impact on them. So as we are speaking about social anxiety, can you maybe tell us a little bit about some of your experiences with, you know, those clients that you actually treat that struggle with social anxiety?
You know, Khadija, as you rightfully mentioned, it's a disorder. It's a phobia. It's not shyness. It's not a withdrawal syndrome. It's actually something within individuals that at some level begins to create anxiety, some cognitive and emotional dissonance when we in certain environments or certain crowds or in a certain social circle. Mm-hmm. Now, as a coach, and I've coached many people with this kind of disorder or phobia or misunderstanding or dissonance. And what I've learned through my experience is that in most cases, most of these anxiety disorders, these social anxiety disorders, begin early childhood or in some experience which is a high level of severity and pervasiveness that has continued within the constructs of that person's personality. And the moment they identify with that trauma in a new environment, then this social anxiety disorder begins to surface. And to deal with it, we actually got to peel back time and go back to the first time that they might have been yelled at or berated or insulted or embarrassed, and we actually got to deal with it at the core level. So It's not so much about the social. It's about the individual who has a different construct and outlook to what the social looks like. And it's a disconnect and a dysfunction within the memory of the subconscious stemming from an initial experience or maybe even repetitive experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes so much of sense. But in a few words, Brother Khali, can you just tell us what is social anxiety for our listeners? How can they easily understand this kind of a disorder? And what are the signs? What are the signs that you can, or how can you tell if you are one that is struggling from it and suffering from it?
You know, I believe that, okay, so yeah, I think we should simplify it. It's the inability or not being able to stay within a confine of crowd or people or social circles. And the symptoms that normally come that are concomitant with this kind of disorder, withdrawal, lack of confidence, need to separate yourself from the crowd, nervousness, anxiety, even nausea to some of my clients. And it's actually a huge negative impact. And the anxiety starts way before the actual social circle takes place and goes way into it. And a quick withdrawal and isolation. And I think, Khadija, what's really important for our listeners to understand that it's not about being an introvert. There's a huge difference Yes. between being an introvert and having social anxiety disorder. An introvert Yeah. just prefers to keep to themselves regardless of the people around them. But someone who suffers social anxiety disorder is so panicked, is in such a frenzy, that they want to extract themselves from the social circle and withdraw to a space of isolation, and not being able to cope or communicate or connect or socialize on that level. So it's a major disorder, which is an extremely big dysfunction in an individual. But basically, it's a fear or phobia of being in circles of bigger people. And this also varies. You know, for some people, a social disorder could be two or three people. For others, it could be bigger crowds. And I think how people can connect with this even more, including you and I, Khadija, I'm sure at some stage of our lives, we've all had some level of anxiety, whether we were going to be on a radio show, whether we were going to give a speech, whether we were going to be at a ceremony, whether it was an award evening, whether it was at a sports function. Mm-hmm. At some level, we had a little bit lack of confidence and competence within ourselves. And the big, big thing we do is we start competing and comparing with other people to see if we measure up. And I think once you begin competing and comparing whether we measure up to other people or to other people's expectations, that's when this dysfunction can really take a bigger course and something more drastic and dramatic happens within us. So I think we all at some level have experienced some level of social anxiety, regardless of the experience Yes. outside of us. But it is basically the inability to function within a bigger group or bigger social circle.
Mm-hmm. That's so well explained, Brother Khalid. I couldn't have said it better myself, and I think you made me even understand that, because a lot of times we do get confused with being an introvert and actually having social anxiety. So that actually defines exactly what the difference is between social anxiety and being an introvert. And I think that's where a lot of us need to understand that there is a very big difference. But for those who are experiencing some of the social anxiety or that see the signs, how can you overcome this kind of anxiety? And is it ever possible to fully overcome it? Is it always just going to stick there with you? Or are there ways that you can actually overcome this type of anxiety?
Khadija, as a coach, I've learned that we have the potential and ability to overcome anything and everything in our lives. I mean, we've overcome grief, we've overcome losing friends and family that we love and parents. So I believe that everything we can transform and overcome. But I think what's important is to go back to root, to the root cause, to go back and visit that place where you can remember. Well, in a coaching kind of approach, we normally get people at the subconscious level to go back to the first time they can remember that they had an experience where they were insulted or embarrassed or berated or yelled at or at some level just addressed very abruptly, abrasively by someone else or a group of other people. And it begins at that root level. And I think once we can begin to identify who we are and that we live in our own identity and in our own experience, and our experiences are very separate and very individual to other people, and that we need not comparing and competing with others, it begins to allow a sense of confidence and competence to begin to flow through us and eradicate all of these social dysfunctions or social phobias or anxieties that we ultimately experience. What's very important to understand is that we have what we call the prefrontal cortex, the PFC, which is the top front part of your head. And essentially, it is crowned as the crowning experience, a crowning ability of human experience. That's what the PFC does. And a lot of people don't understand that our PFC only matures at the age of 25, 26. So up to the age of 25, 26, we are very influenced and impacted by all of these social circles, by all of these traumas or all of these fears that we have within us. And what the PFC does is its function, its main material function, is to create experience to make us, help us make choices and decisions and ultimately take action. And when it's functioning from a space of trauma that was incurred or inflicted in early childhood days, it begins to continue that kind of trauma right up to the age of 25, 26, and we will feel the same emotions, we will have the same experiences, and ultimately, or unfortunately, we still make the same choices and have the same feelings and the same reflex responses to that kind of external experience. And that is essentially the root cause of any kind of disorder, in that the prefrontal cortex uses a memory bank of the first trauma and continues replaying this in every environment that looks familiar to the original trauma or the original experience or the original situation. And to overcome it, you need to first understand the biology of human experience. You need to understand how experiences are created. And once we unpack them, and we can convince our subconscious mind, which is actually the master of our experience, that currently this experience that has created this trauma or phobia for me is not taking place right now. That existentially, no one is actually berating me in this moment, and no one's actually embarrassing me. And just because I was embarrassed 20, 30, 40 years ago in a social circle, and I was berated and yelled at or embarrassed, that it's not happening to me right now. Immediately, there can be a new response. There can be a new experience. There can be a new outlook, a new lens that we can see the situation with. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know that each and every one of us function twofold. We have a command center, and then we have a commander. And 9 out of 10 times, we're running with the command center because that's the autopilot within us. But even the autopilot needs to be engaged or disengaged by a pilot, by an intuitive pilot who can make the call. And once you realize that if I'm having these feelings of dysfunction or phobia and anxiety, but that experience is not really happening right now, and the autopilot has kicked in, I can override the autopilot and I can recreate, renegotiate a new experience, a new response. And that's all it takes. And it sounds complicated, but it's actually easier done than even said.
Sure. And it's just all about the power of the mind, right, Coach?
Absolutely. The power of the mind and the power of the present moment. To ask yourself, in this moment, am I being berated? Am I being insulted? In this moment, who have I now? Who's pitched up in this moment? A more educated me, a more confident me, a more competent me, So the power of the mind collectively illustrated with the power of now just creates a brand new reality.
That's incredible. Incredible what we can actually think and change and what our thought processes could actually do. You mentioned a little bit about confidence and how it works with social anxiety. Is it linked at all to a person's self-esteem or feelings of self-confidence?
Absolutely. I think they're also interconnected. There's such a dynamic interplay between confidence, esteem, past trauma, past experiences. They're all an incessant stream that actually creates human experience in this moment. And often, very often, I have clients who have confidence issues or self-esteem issues. And what I kind of remind them of is that as a coach, I cannot help you with confidence. That's a natural response. It's a natural selection. But if you feel that you are competent in any kind of subject, situation, then confidence is a dovetail flow that oozes from competence. So I then tell my clients that rather focus on your competence. So even when it comes to social anxiety disorder and you feel you don't have the confidence or the self-esteem to be able to respond and interact and engage the social crowd, rather ask yourself, but whatever the social crowd is gathered for, on the topic or subject or event or situation, how competent I am. What's my knowledge? What's my understanding? What's my insight of this? And once you have that, and you go in there knowing that you are competent, then confidence is going to flow. Esteem is going to flow. You're not going to have any kind of social anxiety because your social anxiety is stemming from being embarrassed or feeling you're not good enough or you don't fit enough or you don't know enough or you can't add enough value to the situation or to the scenario. And then you can extract yourself. And it doesn't have to be an anxiety. It just can be a decision or a choice. So if there's a conversation going on about, let's say, politics, and you're not a very politically inclined kind of individual, then of course you're going to lack confidence because you don't have the competence. But you don't have to engage that conversation because it might not appeal to you. But in my case, if someone's talking transformation or if someone's talking coaching, then I'm so competent in it because it's what I do, it's my passion, it's what I love. I'll ooze confidence, I'll ooze self-esteem, I'll have no social, in fact, I'll become the belle of the ball because I feel competent in the subject topic or in the environmental discussion. So it's important to focus on the competence. And it's okay for you not to be able to be a master of every conversation or every topic. And it's also okay for you then to withdraw without anxiety, just from wisdom, withdraw and be silent. And maybe learn something today. Maybe pick up something that you're not aware of. Or maybe get your curiosity piqued and you know, pique your interest and learn something new today. Something that you thought didn't interest you. And suddenly by hearing it from another perspective, you just reinvented yourself.
Lovely. Wow, Coach, I must say, I think you've brought to light so much for our listeners, especially with regard to being competent and how it contributes to you gaining your confidence and building your esteem. And it was so greatly, you just explained it so well. I don't think we could have had a better explanation on that particular topic. So thank you for that. We have reached, I think, the end of our interview time. Some final words for our listeners?
Well, you know, I think that we can prevail. We have the potential. And as Allah has said in the Quran, so which of your bounties do you want to deny? We have the mental, emotional, and spiritual wellness all in the midst of each and every one of us. And all we need to do is just step into that reservoir and exalt it. We are all special, and we all have the potential. And I think it's important to know that individually, we are crafted exclusively to excel in certain areas, and we should focus on that. Thank you, Khadija. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brother Khalid, for being on my show today. It always just lights up my day when I hear your voice. And thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing so much of knowledge with us, so much of, I'm definitely sure my listeners are taking away some great inspiration and motivation from our chat today. Do stay safe and keep well. Until next
time. Ameen. Thank you. And you too. And assalamu alaikum to one and all.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, there you have it, my dear listeners. That was Brother Khalid Jasad speaking to us about social anxiety. Inshallah, do stay tuned for the next part of our program. We are going to have with us guest Fatima Bellum, who is going to speak to us as well about depression and anxieties and coping with stress, inshallah. So do stay tuned. We will be back after the short ad break.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back, my dear listeners, to the second part of our program on this very warm, beautiful Monday afternoon. I am your host, Sister Khadija Muhammad, taking you through the next part of the program on Let's Talk Life. Today we have another guest for the second part of our show, and she's just an amazing life coach with so much of experience and qualifications, and Sister Fatima Bellum, who is going to be talking to us about coping mechanisms in a pandemic. And I, you know, we're all still struggling with the pandemic and what is going on, and some of us are still very much, you know, we don't know whether we're still coming or going, whether things are ever going to be normal, whether life is going to be this way, or is it going to be back to the way it was, or will it be something different from what we knew or what we're having experiencing right now. So we're all still stuck in a rut, I should say. But Sister Fatima Bellum, who has a BA and honors degree in psychological counseling, and she's got some great qualifications in HIV/AIDS and trauma counseling, as well as being a qualified educator in the FET phase. With all that, she's going to be speaking to us from a coaching perspective this afternoon on how to cope in a pandemic. Now, being encouraged to be a positive and take a bull by the horns approach to life is easier said than done, right? So while we are constantly motivated by quotes that tell us to watch the energy that we put out there, and how is an important part of this often left out, and many of us don't know how to kind of control our emotions, our stresses, and even our thoughts. But Life Coach Fatima Bellum is going to share some tips with us this afternoon on how to cope better with all the negativity that we are currently surrounded with. So with that, I'm going to welcome Sister Fatima. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Talk Life.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah so much, Sister Fatima. What you say is so true.
It's only a pleasure.
Sorry?
It's only a pleasure to have you on with us this afternoon, Sister Fatima. You can go ahead.
Okay, ma'am. What you said is so true, that today we are all told about how not to stress over negative circumstances and stuff. But unfortunately, we don't understand how to go about doing that, especially in the time and the trials that we are going through at the moment. So firstly, I'd like to welcome all the Radio Islam listeners. And inshallah today, I will try to encapsulate and very briefly discuss the causes of anxiety, stress, depression, and how we can cope with this, inshallah. As we are all aware, we notice that the disruption that has been caused by the pandemic is much devastating. And as COVID-19 rapidly spread across the world, it has induced a great deal and a great degree of fear, worry, and much concern amongst people at large. And we are specifically here referring to the older adults, the caregivers, and of course, people that are suffering with underlying health conditions. Now, in public mental health terms, the main psychological impact to date is elevated rates of stress and anxiety. The impact that changed routines, activities, the loss of loved ones, has had on individuals is said to have increased feelings of loneliness, self-harm, suicidal thoughts, and the most common one of all is depression. And all of this are still expected to rise now in the future. So when we talk about anxiety, let us take a closer look at anxiety. What exactly do we mean when we talk about anxiety? Well, in simple terms, anxiety is when simple things start to become difficult for us to handle. So when a person suffers the feelings of various negative thoughts and beliefs, then we say that anxiety has now been triggered within them. And when anxiety now is triggered within you, what exactly is meant by that? It simply means now that you may start to feel nervous, you may start to feel overwhelmed, and you may notice that your breathing rate starts to increase. Some people will now start getting sweaty palms, and they start to feel sick. Now, you ask yourself, why exactly do we start to feel sick? Understand that your emotion, the thoughts that you have is not an emotion. So for your mind to understand your thought, it has to associate that thought with an emotion. So once you start creating an emotion and you start getting those emotions, it now starts to get the body to feel sick. So when the body feels sick, you have reason to feel the way you are feeling. Do you understand? So we've got to understand the most important thing is that our thoughts and our emotions, they have a profound effect on one another.
Because
our thoughts are what trigger our emotions. Example, let's look at something simple, right? Let's look at maybe there's an upcoming job interview. And you really want this job, but you don't know what to expect in the interview. You have the skill, you have the expertise. What happens now is a simple thing. Because you don't know what to expect, you now start to create fear within you. And when you create fear within you, this now serves as an appraisal of that emotion. So even though the fear of the interview is not a realistic fear, you start feeling anxious. So what exactly, what is the point that we are trying to make? We are saying that how we attend to and how we appraise our lives will have an effect on how we feel. Okay? So if we go back to now to anxiety, let's look at what anxiety does. When we become anxious, we now have continuous thoughts in our head. Right? When you have continuous thoughts, understand these are as though they are alarm bells that are going off. That these thoughts just won't stop jumping from one thing to another. So when you have these thoughts and they're jumping from one to another, you now end up suffering with absolutely no clarity in thought. This now will lead you to much confusion. And you will see that the circle of anxiety will continue becoming worse and worse over time. So when that happens to you, it now results in intense feelings of sadness. And this happens over an extended period of time. And now there's a strong possibility that because this happens over an extended period of time, it will now lead to depression. So, and we all know that when you now find yourself in a depressive state, depression, it progressively gets worse over time. So now you are in a depressive state. And now I just need the listeners to understand where we started. We started off with a negative thought. But this is now the rippling effect that it has on our health. Now we are in a depressive state. What happens to you when you are in a depressive state? You're now going to lay down at night. And when you lay down at night, you are not going to close your eyes, because you are now starting to judge yourself. You are starting to question your surroundings. You will question everything happening in your life. So now you try to find out what could possibly go wrong, what could have possibly gone wrong, what you could have said or done better, or perhaps maybe you would have rather not said or done anything. So you start worrying about your future. And we all know that we have absolutely no control over our futures, okay? So we start creating more stress, more panic within ourselves, and now we become more doubtful than ever. So this results now in no sleep or very little sleep, which is in turn going to lead now to tiredness. Tiredness will now lead to listlessness. Listlessness will now lead to what? Less productivity. And eventually you have an overwhelming feeling of being tired all the time. all this tiredness now, because you cannot do what you normally would love to do, will now lead to even more anxiety. So I hope that this is giving an idea to the listeners of the kind of pattern. Can we see this pattern?
Very much so. I think, Sister Fatima, you are clearly making it out. Like I'm saying, it's just a big circle, right? Everything is linked to everything. One thing would follow the other.
That's it. Okay? So now we're depressed. And now that we're in a depression, what comes after depression? After depression comes isolation. So why do we isolate ourselves? Because now we see that the less people that you deal with, it means that you're going to have less worries. It means you're going to have less expectations. It means that you're going to have less life problems. And you feel that there are absolutely no demands that are going to be placed on you as a person. So now this isolation and the space of isolation becomes your comfort zone. Now that you're comfortable, what do? You stay in. You curl yourself up as a ball. And most often what happens? You will end up sleeping throughout the day. When you are sleeping throughout the day, remember, life is a cycle. It's a turning wheel. Mm. When the world is turning, you are not on that wheel. And the wheel will not stop turning for you. Do you understand? So now, what we need to understand and what we need to remember is the more stressed or worried we are, the more strain our mind and our body takes. Okay? So we start to get sick. And getting sick will also now contribute to the low feelings that we are experiencing. Now, we go back and we ask ourselves, where exactly has all of this stemmed from? They have all stemmed from a mere thought in your mind, a thought of fear and anxiety and uncertainty and not knowing what is going to happen. Okay? Not knowing what's going to happen in the future.
And Sister Fatima, you know, these thoughts that you're talking about, these negative thoughts that have such an impact on and controlling our lives and putting us into the state of mind and state of being, how do you keep these recurring negative thoughts out of your mind?
You see, it's totally natural to have a negative thought because at the end of the day, we are human, okay? So everyone has a negative thought. The idea is, when you have the negative thought, it's a simple philosophy. You can never expect to speak negative, right, but to gain victory. Because the moment you speak out something, you give life to what you are saying. Either it's good or either it's bad. So when you speak out the negative, you allow it now to become a reality. So what I'm saying is that negative thoughts come to every person. You can't stop the thoughts that come. But the key is never to verbalize the negative. Think about it, but don't speak it. If you want to say anything good about your health, your finance, your kids, your family, your work, go ahead. But the moment you want to say something negative, don't say anything at all. It's either you allow positive or you remain quiet. Because we as people have the ability to talk us out of good health. We have the ability to even talk us out of a promotion. Because negative words can even stop our good destiny that has been written out for us.
Yes, you're right.
You see? So that is why it's so important to manage negative thoughts.
Okay.
Right? And what we also need to understand is that these are just thoughts. We, as people, we try not to analyze too many of these thoughts. Life is not all doom and gloom. We have to also look at what opportunities await us out there. So it's taking a negative.
There are so many.
Right? Changing it into something positive that can work for you. Okay? Because remember we say, failure leads to success. So the failure is a stepping stone. It's the mistakes that we repeatedly make that make us good at what we do. So take these negatives, change them into something positive that can work for you. What we also need to understand is the fact that we are breathing, the fact that we are alive That is a ni'mat from Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
Right?
Yes,
Allah will
course.
Never put mm-hmm. you in a situation that you cannot handle. Let's
yes.
talk about takbir. Let's talk about qadr. This mm-hmm. is from Allah. However, mm-hmm. there's one thing that can change that takbir, and that is your dua. So if we
yes.
know that Allah is listening, Allah is Samiun Aleem, then pandemic or no pandemic, stress or no stress, whatever it mm-hmm. is, whoever it is, Allah has qudrat over everything. So we should never mm-hmm. become despondent in the mercy of Allah. And a reality is that every situation will present itself. This is the law of nature. But when we mm-hmm. read, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, what are we doing? We are making Allah our protector. Now,
yes.
a person will come to you and say, everything said and done, but at the end of the day, we are insan. Wa khuliqal insanu da'ifa. Every insan is created weak. Yes, most definitely mm-hmm. we are. We are created weak. So what do? We need to understand that a situation is a situation. Allah would never have put you in a situation that you could not have handled. Okay?
Right.
We've got to learn to accept our realities. Okay? And what we are saying is we need to find and adopt a coping mechanism that will work for us. And how can we do this? The first step is for us to control our thoughts. Because everything stems from your thoughts. So, in our mind...
Sister Fatima, we are getting to the end of our program. So, sensing you have actually moved on to the part of what we can do to actually improve our situation and our mental health. Maybe we can just end the program with explaining to the listeners and giving them some of the hope or some of these daily habits that one can adopt to improve your mental health. Health and to actually cope during your daily life, cope during the pandemic, or whatever it is that you are going through, inshallah. So you can maybe share with us some of those habits that you can adopt.
All right. Look, there are negative effects of the pandemic, okay? And those negative effects, if you look at it, it's human, economic, and it's of a social crisis. If you look at COVID-19, it's led to a dramatic loss of human life. Whether, you know, if you look at negative religious impact, it has economic and social disruption, which is caused is quite devastating. If we look at all of this, right, if you look at the skills and the job markets as well, you'll notice that they have changed. So what people now need to continue to do is to strengthen their skills and acquire new skills in that regard. Also, we need to adopt the idea of becoming lifelong learners and recognize the opportunity to build back better, inshallah. When it comes to stress, it's not difficult for us to feel overwhelmed these days, but it's important for us to set time aside to unwind our mental, our physical health. All of that can suffer if we don't unwind. So what we need to do is the first step, exercise helps, because that will improve your mood. So even if you're working at 2 hours a day, and if you can't work with 2 hours, then whatever time you can give to exercise, because something is always better than nothing at all. Second, you need to slow down. Life is so busy. We've got to stop. We've got to look at life. And we've got to find small ways to slow down, right? Maybe if we know we're always going to be late and we don't have time, just set your clock maybe 5 minutes ahead of time.
Yes.
So that lowers your stress. Take a break if you are feeling overwhelmed. Do restful things. Go outside. Go sit for a while. Go make ibadah. Go meditate. And the last one is, I think it's very important, is that we talk about what is stressing you out, because talking to others will help you get a mouth over your stress. And it should be someone you can trust. And if you feel that you don't want to talk to anybody, then self-talk is important. Talk to yourself. And inshallah, that will have a positive outcome, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. Thank you so much, Sister Fatima. I think that was great. It's just been an amazing 15 minutes of you sharing so much food for thought. And I think our listeners are definitely going to take away all the greatness and all the positivity, like you said, out with the negative thoughts and all the positivity into your minds. And inshallah, let's pray for everybody who is going through the difficulty of depression. May Allah make it easy for them, and with all this, guide them through what is best for them, inshallah. So jazakallah so much. Inshallah. Thank you for being a part of our program today. Inshallah, we look forward to having you with us again.
Inshallah, jazakallah so much. Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear listeners, that was Sister Fatima Balam, and she shared some great, great advice on how to deal with your negative thoughts, how the negative thoughts stresses you out, and the anxieties, how it's caused, and how it actually leads to depression. And she even at the end of the program, she spoke about the ways that you can actually find ways in to improve your health, to improve your thoughts. And and you know, like she said, the most thing that stood out for me was that we are all human and we think negatively. We all do think negatively on a daily basis. But like she said, think about it, but don't speak it. You know, self-talk and what you actually tell yourself manifests. So I think she's done a superb job in giving us that inspiration for this afternoon. I do hope that you have taken away with you some great advice from both our list of our guests on today's show. And inshallah, we thank our guests for being a part of our show today and for enlightening us with all this inspiration and all the relevant content. It is never too much, and some great food for thought. So do join us again next week, inshallah, my dear listeners, on Let's Talk Life, same time on Monday from 2 to 3 p.m. for more thought-provoking and empowering topics and guests. Do stay safe and stay blessed, inshallah. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarata ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.